And now, for our feature presentation. Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio proudly presents Lilith St. Croix, Dante Valentine. Narrated by Colleen Delaney. With performances by Christopher Sheeran, Kimberly Gilbert, Joe Brack, Lily Beacon, Michael Glenn, Thomas Keegan, Mort Shelby, Nanette Savard, James Konacek, Elizabeth Jernigan, Terrence Aselford, Tim Gatman, David Coyne, Nathaniel Perry, Joseph Thornhill, and Ken Jackson. Book 1, Working for the Devil, Part 1.
My working relationship with Lucifer began on a rainy Monday. I just settled down to a long afternoon of watching Holovid soaps and doing a little divination, spreading the cards and runes out on the hank of blue silk I'd laid out. I turned over a card with my lacquered fingernails. The amber ring on my left middle finger sparked. The bashing on my door shook the walls. The devil card pulsed, landing atop a pile of flat rune stones. I hadn't touched it. The card I had turned over was blank. Goose flesh rippled up my back. Interesting. I turned down the volume on the Holovid, hauled myself up off the red threadbare carpet and padded barefoot out into the hallway. My rings flashed, green sparks popping down my fingers. I shook them off, frowning. The lines of power wedded to my front door twirled uneasily. Something nasty was on my front step. I hitched up my jeans, then reached over and curled my fingers around the sword hanging on the wall. I lifted it down, chucked the blade free with my thumb against the guard. The peephole in the middle of the door was black, no light spilling through. I didn't bother looking. Instead, I touched the door, spreading the fingers of my right hand against smooth iron. My rings vacillated, reading the flow of whatever was behind the door.
Oh, gods above and below. Whatever it is, it's big.
Bracing myself for murder or a new job, I unlocked the door and stepped back, my sword half-drawn. The blue glow from power-drenched steel lit up my front hall, glimmering against the white paint and the full-length mirror hung next to my coat rack. I waited. I was prepared to sell myself dear if it was murder. I can draw my sword in a little under a second and a half. Thankfully, there was no need to. I blinked. Standing on my front step was a tall, spare, golden-skinned man dressed in black jeans and a long, black, Chinese-collared coat. The bright silver gun he held level to my chest was only slightly less disconcerting than the fact that his aura was cloaked in twisting black diamond flames. He had dark hair cut short and laser-green eyes, a forgettable face, and dreamy, wide shoulders.
Great. A demon on my doorstep.
I didn't move. I barely even breathed.
Danny Valentine.
Who wants to know? The silvery gun didn't look like a plas gun. It looked like an old-fashioned 9mm.
I wish to speak with Danny Valentine, or I will kill you.
Come on in.
And put that thing away. Didn't your mother ever teach you it was bad manners to wave a gun at a woman?
Who knows what a necromance has guarding his door? Where is Danny Valentine?
Come on in off my front porch. I'm Danny Valentine, and you're being really rude. If you're gonna try to kill me, get it over with. If you want to hire me, this is so the wrong way to go about it.
I don't think I'd ever seen a demon look nonplussed before. He holstered his gun and stepped into my front hall, peeling through the layers of my warding, which parted obediently to let him through. When he stood in front of me, kicking the door shut with one booted foot, I had him calculated down to the last erg of power.
This is not going to be fun. What's a Lord of Hell doing on my doorstep?
What's a Lord of Hell doing on my doorstep?
I've come to offer you a contract. Or more precisely, to invite you to audience with the Prince, where he will present you with a contract. Fulfill this contract successfully, and you will be allowed to live with riches beyond your wildest dreams.
It didn't sound like a rote speech. I nodded.
And if I said I wasn't interested? You know, I'm a busy girl. Raising the dead for a living is a high-demand skill nowadays.
The demon regarded me for maybe 20 seconds before he grinned, and a cold sweat broke out all over my body. My nape prickled and my fingers twitched. The three wide scars on my back twitched uneasily.
Okay, let me get my things, and I'll be happy to attend his gracious princeship, yada yada yada, wildest dreams. Capiche?
He looked only slightly less amused, his thin, grim face lit with a murderous smile.
Of course. You have 20 minutes.
If I'd known what I was getting into, I would have asked for a few days, or maybe the rest of my life. The demon spent those 20 minutes in my living room, examining my bookshelves. At least he appeared to be looking at the books when I came downstairs, shrugging my coat on. Abracadabra once called me the Indiana Jones of the necromantic world. High praise from the Spider of Saint City, if she meant it kindly. I liked to dress for just about any occasion. My working outfit consists of a Trade Bargains microfiber shirt, dries quickly and sheds dirt with a simple brush off, a pair of butter-soft broken-in jeans, scuffed engineer boots with worn heels, my messenger bag strapped diagonally across my torso, and an old explorer coat made for photojournalists in war zones with plenty of pockets and Kevlar panels sewn in. I finished braiding my hair and tied it off with an elastic band as I stepped into the living room, now full of the smell of man and cologne, as well as the entirely non-physical smell of demon, a cross between burning cinnamon and heavy amber musk.
My literary collection seems to please you.
My palms were sweating. My teeth wanted to chatter.
I don't suppose you would give me any idea of what your prince wants with me?
He turned away from my bookshelves and shrugged. Demons shrug a lot. I suppose they think a lot of what humans do deserves nothing more than a shrug.
Great.
I scooped up my athame and the little jar of blessed water from my fieldstone altar. My back prickled with fresh waves of goose flesh.
There's a demon in my living room. He's behind me. I have a demon behind me. Damn it, Danny, focus!
It's a little rude to bring blessed items before the prince.
Well, it's a little rude to point a gun in my face if you want me to work for you.
I passed my hand over my altar. There was nothing else. I crossed to the big oak armoire and started flipping through the drawers. I wished my hands would stop shaking.
The prince specifically requested you, and sent me to collect you. He said nothing about the finer points of human etiquette.
The demon regarded me with laser green eyes.
There is some urgency attached to this situation.
I waved a sweating, shaking hand over my shoulder.
Yeah, and if I walk out that door half-prepared, I'm not gonna do your prince any good, am I?
You reek of fear.
Well, I just had a gun shoved in my face by a Lord of Hell. I don't think you're the average imp-class demon that I very rarely deal with, boyo. And you're telling me that the devil wants my company.
I dug in the third drawer down and extracted my turquoise necklace, slipped it over my head and dropped it down my shirt.
At least I sound good.
The lunatic urge to laugh rose up under my breastbone.
I don't sound like I'm shitting my pants with fright. Goody for me.
The prince wishes you for an audience.
I guess the prince of hell doesn't like to be called the devil.
On any other day, I might have found that funny.
So, what do I call you?
There was a long pause.
You may address me as Jaff.
If he'd given me his name, I could have maybe used it. Jaff, however, might have been a joke or a nickname. Demons were tricky.
Nice to meet you, Jaff. So, how did you get stuck with messenger duty?
This is a sensitive situation.
I slipped the stiletto up my sleeve into its sheath and turned to find him watching me.
Discretion would be wise.
I'm good at discretion.
I settled my bag so that it hung right.
You should practice more.
I shrugged.
I suppose we're not stopping for drinks on the way?
You are already late.
It was like talking to a robot. I wished I'd studied more about demons at the academy. It wasn't like them to carry guns. I racked my brains trying to think of any armed demon I'd heard of. None sprang to mind. Of course, I was no magi. I had no truck with demons, only the dead. I carried my sword into the front hall and waited for him.
You go out first. I've got to close up the house.
He nodded and brushed past me. The smell of demon washed over me. It would start to dye the air in a confined space, the psychic equivalent of static. I followed him out my front door, snapping my house shields closed out of long habit, the power shifting and closing like an airlock in an old B-movie. Rain flashed and jittered down onto the porch roof and the paved walk. The garden bowed and nodded under the water. I followed the demon down my front walk. The rain didn't touch him. Then again, how would I have noticed? His hair was so dark it looked wet anyway. And his long, dark, high-collared coat, too. I thought about dashing back for the dubious safety of my house. The demon glanced over his shoulder, a flash of green eyes in the rain.
Follow me.
Like I have another option?
I spread my hands a little, indicating the rain.
If you don't mind, it's awful wet out here. I'd hate to catch pneumonia and sneeze all over His Majesty.
He set off down my street. I glanced around. No visible car. Was I expected to walk to hell? The demon walked up to the end of the block and turned left. Apparently, I was expected to hoof it.
Oh, great.
Oh. I ran to catch up. Carrying a sword on the subway does tend to give you a certain amount of space, even on crowded hover trains. I'm an accredited and tattooed necromance, capable of carrying anything short of an assault rifle on the streets, and allowed edged metal in transports. Spending the 30,000 credits for testing and accreditation at the academy had been the best step I'd ever taken for personal safety. Although passing the final test had turned a few of my hairs white, there weren't many accredited necromancers around. The demon also granted me a fair amount of space. Although none of the normals could really tell what he was, they still gave him a wide berth. Normals can't see psychic power and energy shifts, but they feel it if it's strong enough, like a cold draft. As soon as we started into the underground, Jaff dropped back until he was walking right next to me. He indicated which style to walk through and dropped two old-fashioned tokens in. I suppressed the shiver that caused.
Shit. Demons don't usually pay for anything. What the bloody blue blazes is going on?
Doors opening.
We got on the southbound train, the press of the crowd soft and choking against my mental borders. My knuckles were white, my fingers rigid around the scabbard.
Doors closing. Stand back from the doors.
The demon stood slightly behind me, my back prickled.
He could slip a knife between my ribs and leave me here, gods protect me.
The whine of anti-grav settled into my back teeth as the retrofitted train slid forward on its reactive greased rails. The antigrav giving every bump a queer floating sensation. One little blonde girl in a school uniform stared at my face. She was probably examining the tattoo on my left cheek. A twisted caduceus with a flashing emerald set at the top. An emerald was the mark of a necromance. As if anyone could have missed the sword. I smiled at her and she smiled back, her blue eyes twinkling. Her way-faced mother, loaded down with shopping bags, saw this. She hugged her child into her side a little harder than was absolutely necessary. The smile dropped from my face. The demon bumped me as the train bulleted around a bend.
Oh!
I jumped nervously. Would have sidled away if the crowd had allowed. As it was, I accidentally elbowed an older woman with a plastic bag.
Pardon.
This was why I never took public transportation. I smiled an apology. The woman turned pale under her gray coif. She looked away. The smile again fell from my face.
I don't know why I even try. They don't see anything but my tat anyway.
Normals feared scions regardless. There was an atavistic fear that we were all reading normal minds and laughing at them, preparing some nefarious plot to make them our mental slaves. The tats and accreditation were supposed to defray that by making scions visible and instituting tight controls over who could charge for psychic services. But all it did was make us more vulnerable to hatred. Normals didn't understand that for us, dipping into their brains was like taking a bath in a sewer. It took a serious emergency before a psi would read a normal's mind. The parapsychic act had stopped scions from being bought and sold like cattle, but it did nothing to stop the hate and the fear, which fed the hate, and so on.
Doors opening. Doors closing. Stand back from the doors.
Six stops later, I was heartily tired of people jamming into the subway car, seeing me, and beating a hasty retreat. Another three stops after that, the car was mostly empty, since we had passed rapidly out of downtown. The little girl held her mother's hand and still stared at me. And there was a group of young toughs on the other end of the car, sallow in the fluorescent lights. I stood, my right arm wrapped around a pole to keep my hand free to draw if I had to. I hated sitting down in germ-laden subway seats.
It's the next stop.
I nodded. He still stood very close to me, the smell of demon overpowering the canned air and effluvia of the subways. I glanced down at the end of the car and saw that the young men were elbowing each other and whispering.
Oh, great.
It looked like another street tough was going to find out whether or not my blade was just for show. I'd never understood necromancers who carry only ceremonial steel to use during apparitions. If you're allowed to carry steel, you should know how to use it. Then again, most necromancers didn't do mercenary work. They just lived in shitty little apartments until they paid off their accreditation fees and then started trying to buy a house. Me? I decided to take the quicker way, as usual. One of them got to his feet and lumbered down the central aisle. The little girl's mother, a statuesque brunette in nurse's scrubs and Nike sneakers, pulled the little girl into her side again as he passed. The pimpled young man jolted to a stop right in front of me.
Okay. He doesn't smell like chill or hash, which is a good thing. A street tough hyped on chill would make the situation rapidly unbearable. On the other hand, if he's stone cold sober and still this stupid...
Hey, pretty baby!
His eyes skittered from my feet to my breasts to my cheek, and then back to my breasts.
What's up?
Nothing.
Ooh, you got a blade. You licensed to carry that, sugar?
I tilted my head slightly, presenting my cheek. The emerald glinted and winked under the harsh lights.
You bet I am. And I even know how to use it. So go trundle back to your friends, Popsicle.
His wet fish mouth worked a little, stunned.
What?
He reached for his waistband. I had a split second to decide if he was armed or just trying to start some trouble. I never got to make the decision, though. The demon stepped past me, bumping me aside, and smacked the youngster. It was an open-handed backhand strike. not meaning to do any real damage. But it still tossed the kid to the other end of the subway car, back into the clutch of Team Tufts. I let go of the pole as soon as I regained my balance.
Oh, fuck. You didn't have to do that.
Then one of the punk's friends pulled out a Transom 987 projectile gun.
Get here!
Oh, fuck.
I crouched for non-existent cover. The demon moved, stepping past me, and I watched events come to their foregone conclusion. The kids boiled up from their seats, one of them yanking their injured, pimply-faced friend to his feet. They were all wearing black denim jeans and green bandanas. Yet another mini-gang. The demon blinked across intervening space. He slapped the gun, illegal if you weren't accredited or police officer, out of the boy's hand. The nurse covered her daughter's ear with her hand, staring, her mouth agape. The demon broke one boy's arm. Then grabbed the gunner by the throat and held him aloft, shaking him as negligently as a cat might shake a mouse. I moved forward, coming to my feet, my sword coming free of the sheath, and slid myself in between them and the gang.
You'll want to get off at the next stop.
The nurse just stared at me.
Trust me on this.
She nodded. Her eyes were wide and wet with terror. The little girl stared at me. I turned back to find the demon standing in the center of a ring of limp bodies. I held the sword in my right hand with the blade level across my body. The reinforced scabbard reversed along my left forearm to act as a shield. It was a highly unorthodox way to hold a katana, but Jado Sensei always cared less about orthodox than keeping alive, and I found I agreed with him. If the demon came for me, I could buy some time with the steel and a little more time with power. He'd eat me alive, of course, but I had a chance.
Hello?
He turned, brushing his hands together as if wiping away dust.
Yes.
You didn't kill anyone, did you?
He shrugged.
That would create trouble.
Is that a yes or a no?
I firmed my grip on the hilt.
Did you kill any of them?
I didn't want to do the paperwork, even if it was a legitimate kill in response to an assault. Jaff glanced down.
No, they'll live.
He stepped free of the ring of bodies.
Anubis and their ka!
That meant, Anubis protect me. The demon's lips compressed into a thin line. If he was going to attack, this would be a great time.
The prince requested you delivered unharmed.
He sidled to the door, not turning his back to my blade.
Remind me to thank him.
I wondered what other requests the prince had made.
Doors opening. Doors closing. Stand back from the doors.
We ended up on the platform, me sliding my sword reluctantly back into the sheath, the demon watching as the nurse hurried her little girl up the steps. The stop was deserted. I tried to calm my racing heart. The demon turned on his heel and leapt down onto the tracks. I actually backed up two steps.
Oh no. No way. Negatory. Look, I'm human. I can't go running around on subway tracks.
For a moment, the station seemed to shrink. The earth behind the walls pressing in, and I snapped a longing glance at the stairs. He looked up at me. His long, thin, golden hands shoved deep in his coat pockets.
There is nothing to fear.
Says you! You're not the one who could die here. Come on, no way.
This is the quickest way.
I could tell he was losing patience with my stupid human self.
I promise you, there is no danger. However, if you keep balking, I will have no choice but to drag you.
I had just seen him blast those neopunks without even breaking a sweat, and he was a demon. Who knew what he'd do?
Give me your name and I will.
As soon as it escaped my mouth, I backed up another two steps, wishing I hadn't said it. It was too late.
Don't make me drag you, necromance. The prince would be most displeased.
That isn't my problem. No way, I can't trust you.
You have left the safety of your abode and followed me here. Unwise of you to raise trivial objections now.
So I'm too curious for my own good. Give me your name and I'll follow you.
He shrugged, spreading his hands. I waited. If the prince truly wanted me delivered unharmed, the demon would give me his name. It barely mattered. I was no magi, able to force a minor demon into working my will, or able to negotiate a bargain with a greater demon for years of service in exchange for blood, sex, or publicity. I rarely ever dealt with demons. He was right, that I'd come this far and it wasn't exactly wise to start backing down now. But better to back down now while I still had a running chance at reaching the surface than have the demon drag me into a subway tunnel. At least with his name, I might be able to stop him from killing me.
Tierce Jaframel.
I blinked, amazed he'd given in, and did some rapid mental calculations.
Do you swear on the Prince of Hell and the Waters of Lethe that your true full name truly is Tierce Jaframel?
He shrugged again.
I swear.
I hopped down into the dark well of the tracks.
Damn, my knees. I'm too old for this shit. Hell, I was too old for this shit 10 years ago.
Fine. Lead the way, then. I'm warning you, though. Any tricks and I'll haunt you, demon or not.
That would indeed be a feat.
With that said, my sword ready and no more excuses handy, I followed the demon into the darkness. I lose a lot of my sense of direction underground. If I had to say with any certainty where the demon opened the door that led into a red glare, I would be somewhat at a loss. The demon's tearing at the fabric of reality to split the walls of the worlds. Well, it's complex and takes an inhuman amount of power, and I've never seen anyone but a demon do it. Magi sometimes tried unsuccessfully to force doors between this reality and the world of demons lying cheek by jowl with it, instead of pleading for a demon to come through and make an appearance. But I was in necromance. The only alternate reality I knew or cared about was the world of death. Some of the Magi said that the higher forms of power were a result of the leeching of substance between this world and the world of demons. I had never seen that. Humans and the Earth's own well of natural power were all I'd ever noticed. Even though Magi training techniques were used as the basis for teaching Scions how to control power, every Magi had his or her own kind of trade secrets passed on from teacher to student and written in code if not memorized. It was like Skinlan with their plant DNA maps or a necromancer's psychopomp, personal information. There was an access hatch that the demon opened as if it had been deliberately left unlocked. Then again, who would be running around down here? A long concrete-floored corridor lit faintly by buzzing fluorescence, and a door at the end of it. But this door was iron-bound wood with a spiked fluid glyph carved deeply into the surface of the wood. The glyph smoked and twisted. I felt reality tearing and shifting around us until the demon was the only solid thing. I became nauseated, swallowing bile and nearly choking.
This isn't built for humans.
Vicious little mouths nipped at my skin. It was akin to free fall, this walking between the worlds. That was why you were only supposed to do it astrally. The physical structure of my body was being stressed, the very building blocks of my cellular structure taking loads they weren't designed to handle. Not to mention the fact that the twisting of visual and auditory input screwed up my perceptions, and the alienness of the power here made my aura compress close to my skin and shiver. When the demon opened up the door and red light spilled out, I almost lost the chicken soup I bolted for lunch. The demon grabbed my arm and hauled me through. I understood why he'd been standing so close to me. As soon as the smell of demon washed over me, I felt a little better. The demon's aura stretched to cover me. I found myself with a demon holding my elbow, volcanic heat lapping at my skin, and a gigantic hall with what appeared to be an obsidian floor and long, narrow windows. Red light from spitting, ever-burning torches ran wetly over the floor and the ceiling, which I only glanced at and then back at the floor, shutting my eyes. Nausea retreated, mostly. I choked and tried to stop myself from spewing. The demon pressed the fingers of his free hand against my sweating forehead. Warm blood dripped down my nose. Sweat trickled down my spine. I kept my fingers around my sword, but my stomach decided it wouldn't turn itself inside out after all.
I'm okay. Just a little...
It's a common reaction. Just breathe.
I forced myself to stand upright, swallowed sour heat and copper blood.
Yeah. I'm okay. The sooner I get this over with, the sooner I can go home, right?
He nodded. His lips were turned down at the corners now, and I saw that his long black coat was now in the same geometric scheme as the rest of the world. That was part of the problem. The angles of the floor and walls were just a little wrong. Just a crucial millimeter off. My brain kept trying to make it fit and failing. And that made my stomach resemble a tilt-a-whirl. Only without the fun part.
Fine. Let's go.
He kept his hand closed around my elbow as we negotiated the vast expanse of the ballroom.
Is this the antechamber to hell?
I had a difficult time not giggling.
I think I'm doing well with this. Really well.
Then we reached the end of the hall, and the demon pushed open another large iron-bound door. All thoughts of dealing really well went right out the window. I dropped my sword. I had never dropped my sword. Never. The demon made a quick movement and had my blade. He ushered me through the door.
A human.
The voice came from a thing sitting behind a massive desk. It had three spiraling horns sprouting from its head and wide, lidless, cat-slit yellow eyes that fastened on me. Its body was a shapeless mass of yellow blubber, festooned with long, bristling black hairs in a few random places. Three nipples clustered on its chest, and the skin looked wrong and greasy. The worst part was the hinged mouth and the razor-sharp teeth. But even worse than that were the long, spidery fingers that looked like maggots crawling among the papers on its desk. A demonic bureaucrat. Even hell had its paperwork.
Not for you, Tricornis. She's for the prince.
What a lovely present. Finally back in the good graces, assassin.
It was still staring at me. A dripping, purple-red tongue slid out, caressed its chin.
Give us a taste. Just a little taste.
She is for the prince, Baron.
I was suddenly very busy studying my boot toes.
How did I get here? If I'd known, I never would have been a necromance. But geez, they never told me dealing with dead people would get me here. I thought only magi dealt with demons.
Very well. Greedy spoilsport.
I had a vivid mental image of those sharp teeth clamping in my upper thigh while blood squirted out. I felt cold under the sick, fiery heat coating my skin.
The prince is in his study, waiting for you. Second door on the left.
I felt more than saw Jaff's nod. Whoever would have thought that he'd seem like the lesser of two evils? Then I felt a chill finger touch the back of my sweating neck. That this Jaffremel looked a little more human didn't mean that he was any less of an alien being. He guided me past the desk, and I was grateful that he was between me and the four-eyed demon. What would I have done if that thing had been sent to come fetch me? And what the hell would a demon need a necromance for? The demon half-dragged me through another iron-bound door.
Keep breathing, human. The Baron likes to dress in a different skin for each visitor. It's normal.
If this is normal, don't let me see weird.
You mean you do this to other people, too?
Not me. Sometimes people come without their flesh. Magi and the like. Very few are sent for. Only the desperate come here.
I can believe that.
I felt bile burn the back of my throat.
Thanks. Ready.
This hall was narrow but high, and there were paintings hanging on the wall that I didn't want to look at after catching a glimpse of the first one. Instead, I stared at my feet moving under me, and had a brief flash of unreality. My feet didn't look like mine.
Oh!
Jaff's fingers closed around my nape. I'd stumbled and half fallen.
Not long now.
He released my neck, pulling me along by my arm.
Just hold on. In here.
Entering the room, he pulled me through a subliminal snap. My feet took on their normal dimensions, and I slumped gratefully into the demon's grasp. The only thing holding me up was his fingers. Then I felt something in my hand. He closed his free hand around mine, the sword held by both of us now.
Here. Hold on to your blade, necromance.
Indeed. It wouldn't do to drop it. She survived the hall. Very impressive.
Jaframel said nothing. I was actually kind of starting to like him. Nah, not really. I opened my eyes. The demon's chest was right in front of me. I tilted my head back, looked up into his face. His eyes scorched mine.
Thanks. That first step's a lulu.
He didn't say anything, but his lips thinned out. Then he stepped aside. I found myself confronted with a perfectly reasonable neo-Victorian study, carpeted in plush crimson. Leather-clad books lined up on bookcases against the dark-paneled wooden walls, three red velvet chairs in front of a roaring fireplace, red-tasseled drapes drawn over what might have been a window. A large mahogany desk sat obediently to one side. A slim, dark shape stood next to the fireplace. The air was drunk and dizzy with the scent of demons. I tightened my fingers on my sword, fisted my other hand, felt my lacquered nails dig into my palm. The man, at least it had a man-like shape, had an amazing corona of golden hair standing out from his head. A plain black t-shirt and jeans, bare golden brown feet.
What though the field be lost? All is not lost, the inconquerable will and study of revenge, immortal hate.
I'd had a classical humanist as a social worker, and had been infected with a love of books at an early age. The classics had sustained me all through the schoolyard hellhole of Rigor Hall. I didn't like to think about the hall, where I'd learned reading, writing, and arithmetic, and the basics of controlling my powers, where I'd also learned how little those powers would protect me. He turned away from the fireplace.
And courage, never to submit or yield.
The Prince of Hell's eyes were like black ice and green flame at the same time, and there was a mark on his forehead that I didn't look at because I found I had dropped my gaze. The demon Jaff sank down to one knee, then rose again.
You're late.
I had to paint my nails. A demon showing up on my doorstep and pointing a gun at me tends to disarrange me.
Oh, he pointed a gun at you?
The prince made a gesture with one hand.
Oh, please, sit, Miss Valentine. May I call you Dante?
It's my name.
The devil knows my name. The devil knows my name. Shit! Quit it. You need your wits about you, Danny, so just quit it.
I would be honored. It's a pleasure to meet you, Your Lordship, Your Highness, whatever.
That laugh could have stripped the skin off an elephant in seconds.
I'm referred to as the father of lies, Dante. I'm old enough to know a falsehood when I hear one.
So am I. I suppose you're going to say that you mean me no harm, right?
He was too beautiful. The kind of androgynous beauty that Holovid models sometimes achieve. If I hadn't known he was male, I might have wondered. The mark on his forehead flashed green. It was an emerald, like a necromance. I wondered why. Necromance emeralds were set in the skin when we finished basic schooling at about 8. I didn't think the Prince of Hell had ever gone to primary school. I was rapidly getting incoherent.
Excuse me. It's getting hard to breathe in here.
This won't take very long. Bring the lovely necromance over to a chair, my eldest. She's about to fall down.
My knees turned to water. Jaff dragged me across the room. I was too relieved to argue. The place looked normal. Human, without the weird geometry.
If I ever get back to the real world, I'm gonna kiss the ground. I've read about people going to hell astrally. Lucky me, getting to visit in the flesh.
Jaff dropped me into a chair, the one on the left, then stepped around to the side, his arms folded, and appeared to turn into a statue. The prince regarded me. His eyes were lighter, but more weirdly depthless than Jaff's. A sort of radioactive, silken glow. 30 seconds looking into those eyes, and I might have agreed to do anything just to make it stop. As it was, I looked down at my knees.
You wanted to see me? Here I am.
Indeed.
The prince turned back to the fireplace.
I have a mission for you, Dante. Succeed, and you can count me as a friend all the years of your life, and those years will be long. It is in my power to grant wealth and near immortality, Dante, and I am disposed to be generous.
And if I fail?
You'll be dead. Being a necromancer, you're well prepared for that, aren't you?
My rings glinted dully in the red light.
I don't want to die. Why me?
You have a set of talents that are uniquely suited to the task.
So what is it exactly you want me to do?
I want you to kill someone.
Whoa!
He turned to me. I looked up at him, forgetting the hypnotic power of those green eyes.
Look, I'm not a contract killer. I'm a necromance. I bring people back to ask questions and lay them to rest when necessary.
50 years ago, a demon escaped my realm. He is wandering your realm at will, and he is about to break the egg.
Break the egg? What is that, some kind of demon euphemism?
What egg?
I shifted uncomfortably in the chair. My sword lay across my knees. This felt too real to be a hallucination.
The egg is a demon artifact. Suffice it to say, the effects will be very unpleasant if this particular demon breaks the egg in your world.
What? You mean like, end of the world bad?
The prince shrugged.
I wish the egg found and the thief executed. You're a necromance, capable of seeing what others do not. Some have called you the greatest death talker of your generation, which is high praise indeed. You are human. But you may be able to find the egg and kill the thief. Jaff will accompany you to keep your skin whole until you accomplish your task.
He turned back to the fireplace.
And if you bring the egg back to me, I will reward you with more than a human being could ever dream of.
I'm not so sure I want your reward. Look, I'm just a working girl.
I raise the dead for issues of corporate law and to solve probate questions. I don't do lone gun revenge stuff.
You've been dabbling in the bounty hunting field since you left the academy. And with corporate espionage and other illegal fancies, though no assassination, I'll grant you that, for 5 years to pay off your mortgage and live more comfortably than most of your ilk. Don't play with me, Dante. It is exceedingly ill-advised to play with me.
Likewise. You've got a fully armed necromancer who knows your name sitting in your inner sanctum, Your Highness. You must be desperate.
My mouth dried to cotton. My hands shook. That was another lie. Despite being more research-oriented than most of my kind, I didn't know the devil's name. Nobody did. In any case, he was too powerful to be commanded around like a mere imp. I doubted even knowing Tyrs Jaframel's name would do more than keep him from outright killing me. Lucifer's name was a riddle pursued by Magi, who thought that if they learned it, they could control the legions of hell. The ceremonials said Lucifer's true name was more like a god's name. It would express him, but didn't have power over him. The exact nature of the relationship between Lucifer and the gods was also hotly debated. Since the complete verification of the existence of demons, the various churches that had survived the awakening and the ceremonials had conducted experiments largely inconclusive. Belief in the power of words to banish imps was necessary, but sometimes even that didn't work unless the demon in question was extremely weak. As Gabe's grandmother, Adrian Spocarelli, had remarked once in a footnote to her study, Gods and Magi, it was a good thing demons didn't want to rule the earth, since you couldn't even banish one unless it was an itty-bitty one.
And you must be greedy. What do you want, Dante Valentine? I can give you the world.
It whispered in my veins, tapped at my skull. I can give you the world. I actually thought about it, but Lucifer couldn't give me anything I wanted. Not without the price being too high. If I was sure of nothing else in this situation, I was sure of that.
Get thee behind me. I just want to be left alone. I don't want anything to do with this.
Well, I can even tell you who your parents were.
You son of a bitch!
I rocketed to my feet, my sword whipping free, but neither demon moved. I backed around the chair away from Jaff, who still looked like a statue staring at my sword. Red firelight ran wet over the blade, blue runes twisting in the steel.
You leave my parents out of this! Oh, fine. Fine. I'll do your job, Iblis Lucifer. If you leave me alone, and I don't want your trained dog demon over there, give me what information you've got and I'll find this egg for you.
For all I knew, my parents had been too poor to raise me. Either that or they'd been too strung out on some cocktail of substances. It didn't matter. Since my Matheson index was so high and they'd had me in a hospital, they hadn't been able to sell me as an indentured. That was the only gift they'd given me. That, and the genetic accident that made me a necromance. Both incredible gifts when you thought about the alternative. It wasn't the first time somebody had twitted me about being an orphan. Nobody ever did it more than once.
You must take Jaframel, otherwise it's suicide.
And have him double-cross me once we find this egg? You must not want word to get out that someone took off with it. No. No dice. I work alone.
His eyes came up, bored into my skull.
You are under the illusion that you have a choice.
I lifted my sword, a shield against his gaze. Sweat trickled down my back, soaking into my jeans. It was damnably hot. What else in hell? You were expecting a mint julep and a cool breeze. I didn't even see Jaff move. In one neat move, he had taken the sword away, resheathed, and the gun pressed into my temple. One of his arms was across my throat. My feet kicked fruitlessly at empty air. The Prince of Hell stalked across the room.
You are intriguing. Most humans would be screaming by now.
or crying. There seems to be a distressing tendency to sob along your kind.
Fuck you!
Jaff could crush my windpipe like a paper cup. I stopped kicking. It would waste what little oxygen I had left, and concentrated. The world narrowing to a single still point.
Let go of her. She's building up power.
Jaff dropped me. I hit the carpet and whirled on the balls of my feet, the sword blurring free of the sheath in an arc of silver. Little nut-brown Jado in his orange robes yelled in my memory.
No sink! No sink! Move!
I didn't even see Jaff move again. He stepped in close, moving faster than a human, of course, twisted my wrist just short of breaking it, and tore the sword from my fingers. I punched him and actually connected, snapping his head back. Then I backed up, shuffling away from the two demons, my two mangushas whipping out. One reversed along my left forearm, the other held almost horizontally in front of me, ready for anything. Anything except this. Jaff dropped my sword. It fell smoking on the carpet next to the scabbard. He glanced at the prince.
Blessed steel. She believes.
Of course I believe. I talk to the god of death on a regular basis. I believe because I must.
Do you think you can fight your way free of hell?
Do you think you could be polite? Because I have to say, your treatment of a guest kind of sucks.
Lucifer took a single step toward me.
My apologies, Dante. Come, sit down. Jaffermel, give her sword back. We should be polite, shouldn't we, since we are asking her for her help.
I didn't move.
What's in the egg? Why is it so important?
Lucifer smiled. That smile made me back up until my shoulders hit a bookcase.
What's in the egg? None of your concern, human.
Whatever gas the demons were using for air was starting to get to me.
Oh, boy. This is so wrong.
Help me, Dante, and you will be one of the chosen few to claim my friendship.
His voice fingered at my skull, looking for entrance. I bit savagely at the inside of my cheek. The slice of pain cleared my head, slightly.
I swear to you, on the waters of Lethe, if you retrieve the egg and kill the thief, I will consider you a friend for eternity.
I tasted blood.
What's the demon's name? The one that stole it?
His name is Vardimol. You know him as Santino?
I considered throwing my left knife. It wouldn't kill him, but the blessed steel might slow him down long enough for me to juke for the door or the window.
Santino? You slimy son of a—
Watch how you speak to the prince.
Lucifer raised one golden hand.
Let her speak as she wishes, Jaffermel.
For the first time, he sounded... what? Actually weary.
Value the human who speaks truth, for they are few and far between.
You could say the same for demons. Santino.
I resheathed my knives. Lucifer examined me for a few more minutes, then turned and paced back to the fireplace.
I am aware that you have your own score to settle with Vardimol. You help me, I help you, you see?
Santino was a demon?
How the hell am I supposed to kill him?
Jaffermel will help you. He also has a personal stake in this.
Jaff gingerly picked up my sword, slid it into the sheath. I watched this, sweat trickling down my forehead. A drop fell into my eyes, stinging. I blinked it away.
Why doesn't he just kill Santino?
A very long time ago, during the dawning of the world, I granted this demon a gift in return for a service. He asked for an immunity. Neither man nor demon can kill him.
I thought this over.
So you think I can, since I'm neither?
It is worth a try. Jaffermel will protect you long enough for you to carry out your mission.
Aw, jeez, well, isn't that sweet of him?
I was actually about to say that, but I had a rare second thought and shut my mouth. After a moment, I nodded.
Fine, I'll do it. It's not like I have much of a choice.
And I'll get free from this Jaff guy as soon as I've got the scent. How hard can that be?
The rewards will be great.
Screw your rewards. I'll be happy just to get out alive. Can I go back to Earth now? Or is this Vardimal hanging out in the Infernals?
The thought of hunting for a murderous demon through the lands of the not quite real but real enough made suicide seem like a pretty good option.
He is among your kind. Your world is a playground for us, and he plays cruel games.
Gee, imagine that. A demon who likes hurting people.
Whoops. I had said that out loud. Lucifer stared into the flames, his back rigid.
Let me tell you something, Dante Valentine. I saw your kind crawling up from the mud yesterday and pitied you. I gave you fire. I gave you civilization and technology. I gave you the means to build a platform above the mud. I gave you the secrets of love. My demons have lived among you for thousands of years, teaching you, molding your nervous systems so you were no longer mere animals. And you spit on me and call me evil.
My mouth couldn't get any drier. We called them demons, or djinn, or devils, or 100 other names. Every culture had stories about them. Before the Great Awakening, they had been only stories and nightmares, despite the Magi who had worked for centuries to classify and make regular contact with them. Nobody knew if demons were gods, or subject to gods, or something else entirely. My vote went for something else, but then again, I'd always been the suspicious type.
Lucifer was the very first humanist. I'm well aware of that, Your Highness.
Think of that before you open your mouth again. Now get out. And do what you're told. I give you Jaframel as a familiar, Dante Valentine. Go away.
My lord!
Get out! And don't make me repeat myself!
I wasn't about to argue. I rubbed my sweating hands on my damp jeans. I would need a salt tablet and a few liters of water. The heat was physical, pressing against my skin. Sweat drenched my clothes. I looked at Jaff. The demon stared at Lucifer for a moment, his jaw working, green eyes burning.
Green eyes? They both have green eyes. Are they related? Jeez, who knows?
I swallowed again. The tension buzzed against the air, rasped against my skin. Lucifer made an elegant motion with one golden hand. It was a rune, but not one I recognized. Fire bit into my left shoulder. I was sure that he'd decided to kill me after all. Me and my big mouth. But Jaff stalked across the room, holding my scabbarded sword and grabbed my elbow again.
This way.
It felt like a branding iron was pressed into my flesh, burning. And he hauled me back toward the door we'd come in through.